The Year of Faith with Father Don Nicastro.
Meditation number 5. The Image of the Catholic Church. The image of the Catholic Church had always been very clear since the time of Jesus Christ. After all, the Catholic Church is 2,000 years old. It would be almost a ridiculous thought for us to wonder how the Catholic Church looked like. She has been existing for the last 2,000 years, and from that time on, especially during the time of the apostles, the times of the fathers of the church, and the great saints and martyrs of the Catholic Church, it was very clear how the Catholic Church looked like. There was no doubt about it, to the point that during those early times, whenever somebody would ask, "Where is the Catholic Church?" any Catholic could point with their finger directly on where that church is. He would either point to the desert, to the mountains, or out of town simply, and say, "There is the Catholic Church." Even the pagans during the early time could describe exactly how the church looked like and where she was. And not only that, but many pagans even describe correctly how the Catholic Church looked like. But why is it suddenly, after the 15th century, in fact, almost immediately after the Council of Trent, the image of the Catholic Church was very blurred? In fact, that was the reason why the Council of Trent was held. Because suddenly, the picture of the Catholic Church, her image was so blurred that most Catholic theologians and even bishops did not know how she looked like. So again, they had to sit down during the Council of Trent, an ecumenical council, and try to see again the boundaries of the church so that its image would stand out once again. But after Vatican Council on Trent, that's the Council of Trent, which was held in Rome, they noticed that those who were implementing the constitutions of the Council of Trent were not doing a good job. They began to have a curriculum for seminaries, and even in the very theological curriculum of the seminary, the description of the Catholic Church was also blurred, still very blurred. But fortunately, during those times, there were many great saints. And so those great saints existing during those times guided most of the souls in the right direction towards the Catholic Church. But as we have seen in the history of the papacy, during the episcopacy of Pope Pius IX, the Holy Father began to realize how serious was this problem that practically none of his bishops or cardinals in his own curia as Pope did not know how the Catholic Church looked like. And because they did not know how the Catholic Church looked like, they were inventing their own Catholic Church. It couldn't be the Catholic Church because it was invented by men. But it was the prevailing tendency towards that time and during that time. And as we have mentioned, the popes and the saints of the Catholic Church had always, since that time, tried to revive and make concrete that image of the Catholic Church, because many people were looking for the Catholic Church and nobody could point to it and nobody could find it. When the situation is like that, then nobody could enter the Catholic Church. How can you enter a church that you cannot find its address here on earth? And this was a problem that Vatican II tried to solve. Vatican I tried to solve it also, but Vatican I could not solve it because of the Franco-Prussian War. It was discontinued, and they never were able to continue Vatican I and resolve the problem of how the Catholic Church looked like. But in Vatican II, the document on the Catholic Church on ecclesiology entitled Lumen Gentium, though it was based on the original image of the Catholic Church as painted by Saint Robert Bellarmine, a Jesuit, doctor of the Church. Though the document is based on the ecclesiology of Saint Augustine, who also very clearly described the Catholic Church, how come Lumen Gentium, based on two very clear Orthodox doctrine of the Catholic Church, still became very blurred in describing the Catholic Church? So much so that after Vatican II, the document remained incomplete. And I don't know if it has been completed already today. Meaning to say, up to now, imagine, the Catholic Church cannot define the Catholic Church. And it is because of a word that they inserted into the document that confuse the complete doctrine. One short phrase that was not in accordance to the teachings of the Catholic Church, which was not in continuity of the teachings of Saint Robert Bellarmine and the teaching of Saint Augustine, one very short phrase included in the document confused the whole document and once again blurred the image of the Catholic Church. It was a small phrase that was placed there where it does not fit. Every theologian is giving that added phrase all kinds of interpretation to make it sound Catholic. But it still does not sound Catholic, because one cannot see the continuation of that short phrase with the original and authentic teaching of the fathers of the Church. That phrase sounds more like the heresy of indifferentism. Most of those being addressed to evangelize and go to the world and save the world through evangelization, in effect, are leading souls into the Catholic Church when they themselves do not know how the Catholic Church looks like. All talks about the new evangelization and the year of faith are people who are saying enter the Catholic Church, enter the Catholic Church, enter the Catholic Church, but never describe the Catholic Church. They're telling us all to go to a place without giving the address. All seminars today are of that kind. I still have to look for one that's doing it right according to the instruction of Pope Benedict. Another document of Vatican II, which really at first glance seems to be all right and can be interpreted correctly, but which has caused more confusion than clarification, is Gaudium et Spes. It is as confused as Lumen Gentium. Now this constitution is trying to marry the world with the church. Now that is impossible, because Christ had already said friendship with the world is enmity with Christ. Now why would you try to put these two together into a marriage contract, when the doctrine of Christ and the apostles and the fathers of the church is already very clear? And so John Newman, who wrote the history of the ecumenical councils, noticed that after ecumenical councils, like after Vatican II, there are always two opposing groups. One, interpreting the documents of Vatican II correctly, and another interpreting the documents of the ecumenical council wrongly. Those who interpret the documents of the ecumenical council, Vatican II, correctly are those who interpret the teachings of the documents showing the continuity of those documents with the past teachings of Christ, the teaching of the apostles, and the teaching of the fathers of the church. And those who are teaching things which are opposing the documents of the Vatican Council, Vatican II, are those who are teaching things and cannot connect them with the teachings of Christ, the apostles, and the fathers of the church. Cannot connect them. And so their doctrines are like a discontinuing of the teachings of the Catholic Church. It is a discontinuity, a discontinuation. And who would be confused with this debate raging on? The lay people, you, and the thousands and millions of lay people, parents, children, husbands, wives, and poor priests who have good intentions and simple-minded, and bishops and cardinals who are not well trained in their theology, all of these people are going to be totally confused. And that's the reason why Pope Benedict declared the Year of Faith and encouraged us to use the new evangelization, which is none other than the old evangelization that Christ gave us, gave the apostles at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It's nothing new. We have to go back, because that is the official teaching of the Catholic Church from its very beginning and supposed to be up to now, but which a lot of people are now trying to change. That's the purpose of the Year of Faith. to guide us to the truth.